With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, horny babies. You are listening to Mike Check with Cameron James and Alexis Toliopoulos, the only podcast that goes through the entire filmography and life of Mike Myers, our comedic hero, just to check if it's still Shagadelic, baby. I'm Alexis Toliopoulos, and I just wanted to come in a little bit early on this podcast and just say thank you so much to all the horny babies that came down to our live episode taping at the Chippo Hotel. It was a sold-out crowd. It was the most fun we've ever had. It was so cool to finally meet all of you guys and see how cool all of you are. Much cooler than Cameron. Not me, I'm cool. I think I'm about on the same level as you guys, and that's why we got along so well. But I just want to say thank you so much, guys. Cameron and I love you very much, and you made us feel very loved, which truly meant the world to us. Which is crazy to say, because we are discussing The Love Guru. It is the final piece of the puzzle for us, but not the end of the journey. We will have episodes about Inglourious Basterds, Shrek Forever After, Supermensch, and then, once we've done all of those movies, and probably a couple of spin-offs, the new Mike Myers, perhaps, starring TV revival of The Gong Show, where it is speculated that Mike Myers is playing Tommy Maitland, the host, deep undercover in character. So we will have a lot more content. This was just a really fun episode to do live, so we took the chance, but the journey will continue. It might never end. Please enjoy our discussion of The Love Guru with our amazing guests, Becky Lucas, Dilruk Jayasinha, and Will Anderson. We also want to thank all the people at the Chippo for helping us put the event on the day, and also Caesar from Comedy on the Edge and our friend Josh Cohen for helping us out behind the box and making it all happen in the moment. It was the most fun ever. Let's just get into it. Cameron and I love you guys. That's what we wanted to say. And stay horny, babies. Party on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Alexis Toliopoulos and Cameron James!
Absolutely, we are not worthy. Guys, thank you so much for coming down to Mic Check Live.
Give yourselves a big clap, yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes! Yes. That clap.
Thank you so much, yes, for bringing that energy, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, baby.
It's weird, yeah. You seem like more a Wayne's World guy, but you speak like an Austin fan. I guess that is our exact demo, so...
You are the perfect mic check fan, if I don't say so myself.
Yeah, so suck eggs. The
yeah, everyone, get the fuck out of here. Eggs. You pieces of shit. Thank you so much for coming down to this room. This is very exciting. It's a dungeon in many ways.
In many ways.
People have been held against their own will in this room. I did my very first stand-up gig in this very room. So you're in the hallowed halls of some of the best masturbation jokes.
And that also is the exact scenario Cameron said where people were held against their will. He did not do well that
I got
night.
Up, I said, lock the gates. I said, Boomer lives, and then I just ranted. I'm known for my rants on stage. I am the Bill Hicks of the Sydney open mic scene.
All right.
How are you feeling, Lex?
I feel cool. I feel so happy. Cool is also my default setting, so I do feel cool at all times. But I feel so happy. I mean, for months, we've been doing this podcast. It's actually been 1 year since we recorded our first episode.
Oh, my God.
And maybe 7 months since we released it. So it was locked away in a vault for a while. But it's so cool to, like, finally see all you guys, because for months, you guys have just been, like, numbers
stats.
On our... Like, just stats. And now you guys are just money to me right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they actually... means it will, because as you may have known, I have lost a lot of money doing this podcast. I have actually wasted many of my dollars to put this horrible show together that has culminated in us, in me this week alone, watching The Love Goo 3.5 times. So it all seems almost worth it now.
Why don't we talk it through a little bit? First of all, the first thing you spent a bit of money on was the famous hats.
Yes,
which
the hats.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, we have the show hasn't started. Yes. That's why we're not wearing them.
The show has not started yet. Once the hats go on, that is when the
now,
show
starts.
Now,
how much did you spend on these hats, Lex?
$90. $90.
But for those of you who've never been lucky enough to see them in the flesh, they are legit.
They are the real deal.
They have the New Line logo on the back embroidered.
And that's what I really wanted. I was like, fuck the other shit. I want a bit of New Line merchandise.
And they also have a nice leather strap, so $45 worth of leather right there.
Oh, all right.
Ride share. Yeah.
That's some good shit. I love that stuff, dude. I love that stuff.
Sorry, I love that kind of shit. I love that sort of shit.
That's fucking awesome.
I fucking love that shit.
Dude,
what else have you spent
stand up,
on?
Dude. You're a hero to us right now, dude. That party of monster. Okay, no, you can just
stay seated. Now, did you buy The Love Guru on Blu-ray?
I did. It was only $6. That one was fine. I can live with that. It doesn't even... I'm spiraling right now.
You are spiraling. But if I could, I'd just like to ask you one question. How much money did you spend on Pete's Meteor.
I think it was $9.95 in the end. Was it $19.95?
I believe it was $19.95. For a movie you will watch again and again, I presume.
Yeah.
To see that pudding-faced Mike play a junkie. The most unconvincing junkie. Junkie's notoriously skinny. Mike, notoriously pudding-faced.
Yes. Yeah. He couldn't pull it off. Sorry, I'm just thinking about that movie again.
You all right, man?
I can't make eye contact right now.
I can't make eye contact. Let's go to a happy place. Okay. Claudia Schiffer. You're very warm. You're very warm.
Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day. That's excellent. Fucking awesome. I can get a laugh for that in this
room. That is so good.
Now I feel really at home. I'm back.
Yeah, it's exciting. And just for the horny babies at home, I would just like to describe the room to everyone here. We're in a room covered in posters.
Yes.
For all sorts of cool fucking movies, man. Like there's a Res Dogs poster
fuck
up there,
yeah,
man.
I love Tarantino.
Same, dude.
We got Clerks up the back.
I love Clerks, dude.
The dialogue. They talk like real people. That's awesome.
I'm not even supposed to be here today, man.
Come on, dude. I love that shit. That's awesome.
Yeah, Sam, I love that kind of shit, man.
My dream for whenever I see rooms like this that have like a mural or like collages of like really cool people like Metallica, I guess Amy Winehouse and Beyonce next to her is to just like go and put like really uncool celebrities like Chris Kattan and stuff. Just always glue them in and see if anyone notices.
Now, there's one celeb that's missing from this wall.
Oh,
that man is the reason we're all here today, ladies and gentlemen. We all know why we're here.
Yes, we know.
We're here for Mike.
Mike Myers.
He's, just in case. Wayne's World, Austin Powers, that sort of shit. Shrekos.
yeah,
Shrekos. Kings of Shrekinos.
There's a lot of Shrek movies.
Now, that's one I don't think we've ever said before. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I think we probably have said it off mic, but yeah, that is a fresh take for the pod.
So I reckon we kick it off. Ladies and gentlemen, give us your biggest round of applause. Yes. Show me what you got. This is all about you today. Keep it up. Welcome to Mike Check Live!
Yeah, baby!
All right. Hello, horny babies.
Hello, Waniacs. Thank you for coming down.
Little Dronglings.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Cheeky monkeys. Welcome to Mic Check Live.
We're in it.
Are you guys excited to be here today? Oh, awesome. We're very excited to have you here today. I'm going to take a seat. Lex, I'd like you to do the same. Let's sit as far apart from each other as we can, but look directly at each other the entire time.
There is no audience here. We are back in the kitchen recording the podcast.
We call our studio the kitchen. Maren has the garage. Yes. We've got the kitchen. It's right near the snacks, so, you know. You're chilling. How are you feeling, man?
I feel so cool. Once again, my default setting. I've not changed. I am still the same man I was 3 minutes ago.
You are listening to Mic Check, the only podcast in known existence where two comedians watch the entire exhaustive filmography bibliography.
Oh, yeah, we have done bibliography stuff as well.
Of their hero.
Funny man, Mike Myers.
Just to check if it's still good. And so far, what would you say?
Well, so far, who knows? so far, maybe a different story to usual. Before we bring on our guests, maybe we should just talk this through. We have just, for the first time ever in the history of our lives and friendship, watched The Love Guru, which is the final piece of the puzzle, in my opinion, to the question we posed many years ago.
What questions were they, Lex?
How are you was the first one I asked you.
Yeah.
So question number one, how are you? I'm cool.
Still pretty cool. Yeah.
Question number two, what has happened to Mike Myers? Why is he no longer on our screens? I put those together, but that was two questions. Question number four, is he still horny?
Is the guy still horny? And today we're going to try and answer those questions because we've watched The Love Guru. Just out of curiosity, how many people in this room have watched The Love Guru also? Now, you're raising your hands.
Yes.
Very good for podcasting. Very good for the audio medium.
Listeners at home, maybe even the people in this room in 3 or 4 days' time, let the record show that there was approximately 1/3 of the people have watched the movie that they were assigned to watch. Did anyone think we were screening it tonight now? Did anyone think that?
I don't know how many times Lexi had to freak out and say we weren't screening it.
People kept on asking me and I was like, I do not have the rights. I don't know how to get the rights to the movie. I don't know how to do it.
You know what? I don't think anyone has the rights to the movie. I think they lapsed and then they're just out there and people are like, we'll just let it go.
Yeah.
We'll just let the rights lapse on that one. So we did watch it today. I think we should maybe, straight off the bat, you and I just say what we thought about it. Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. And I want you to go first because you've watched it 3.5 times.
No, you go first.
Because I literally just watched it.
You need to hear.
Like
some
on the
time
way
to
here,
think.
I was finishing it in the car and shit.
Okay. Well, so incorrectly, I said 3.5 times this week. I did watch it previously the week before. So it is 4.5 times I've watched The Love Guru. And one of the most merciful time was the 0.5 time where I did fall asleep and go to bed at around 2 a.m. I have been on quite a journey with this movie. The first time I watched it, I was very upset, was my main reaction. It was because I was expecting to like either go, wow, everyone was wrong. Everyone was wrong. They just fucked up. Mike is misunderstood. This is a crime that's gone against him. But the movie, it's just a bit lame. It's just a bit lame. And that was the reaction, was like, this is lame. This is sad. I couldn't even hate it. Second time watched it. Loved it. Second time, absolutely loved it. But if it needs to be stated, I was terribly sick with a high fever. And was
you had
quite,
the sweats. Yeah, you had the squirts.
Had the squirts big time, guys. Sorry to let you know. But I was absolutely positively delirious. Delirious.
Eddie Murphy style.
Eddie Murphy style, dude. I was wearing a leather suit just underneath my doona trying to sweat out all this sickness. It was not working.
That is how you sweat out a fever, ladies and gentlemen. You pop on a bit of delirious, pop on that leather suit.
Yep.
And let the Murphy's floor escape your pores, baby.
Third viewing, fine. That was fine. Little
boring. Uneventful.
Little boring. And Jessica Alba was in at that time, I noticed. Which, like, that was just something that just escaped me the first two times. And then that was fine. And then I watched it 0.5 time was just before bed one night.
Yeah.
And it carried me off to sleep in a wonderful way. I don't think... Maybe I had a nightmare that night. I know I had a nightmare in the last 2 weeks at some point. It probably lines up to that night.
Okay, so far you've had a mixed range of emotions. Can I ask if you could try and sum it up into one word, what would that word be?
Oh, shit. This is still the same word. I haven't stopped yet. Probably fine. Probably fine. All those experiences together, it's fine.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you guys know that I watched it today with our first guest, who we'll bring out in just a moment, and I similarly upset for most of it. I just my first note in my phone is just why with a question mark.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that is the only word I can use to describe how I feel right now, but I'm hoping that our guests and you guys will help me come to a distinct emotion that I can cling on to so that I can finally officially check this movie at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
And I feel like we should bring on our first guest.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you setting me up to say it or will
absolutely
you do it?
I want you to do it. You've got that melodious voice.
Okay. Thank you so much. I love compliments. I love that kind of shit, dude. That's my favorite. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring on our first guest. She is one of our best friends of all time. She is Cameron's best friend, and she probably, I would say, is my feeder because she takes me out to lunch and will never let me pay and just stares at me the whole time. And it makes me feel... It actually makes me feel cool. I'm still default setting. Please put your hands together for our best friend, Becky Lucas!
Yes! All right, Becky.
Hello.
You can sit wherever you like. Welcome to Mic Check. How are you going, Becky?
Whoa, he said sit wherever you like and then the furthest away from me?
She chose.
Come on, dude. I don't like this kind of stuff.
Dude, I love this kind of shit.
This microphone's not on. Oh,
it's
is
on.
It?
No, you're being broadcast to the world,
oh
my dear.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
This is like
now,
your very own
Truman
Show.
Now, does anyone have any deodorant? Because I forgot to put some on before
quick
I left
round table,
the house.
Any deodorant in the room? Preferably roll-on. Becky likes other people's pubic hairs. On her body.
If you could spare a spray or two.
All right, we've got a spray over there. That would be great. If you could make, if you could crowd surf that forward, Wayne's World style, Wayne's World 2 style, to be fair. All right, pass it forward, please. Thank you very much.
So
we have a beautiful...
Pass it forward. Now,
I'm so worried this is the worst podcast of all time.
Oh,
right
yeah,
now.
Sorry.
All right, there you
just
go.
Just a quick little spray.
Okay.
There's no shame in it. You guys keep talking about
it. Do you want
yourself.
Me to spray it on for you?
Yes, please.
All right. There we
okay.
This is the type of healthy relationship that we have.
Oh, it's cold, huh? Yeah.
Thank you so much.
If I could pass that back, that would be wonderful. Thank you very much. Round of applause for that. That is amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Now, Becky, we're very lucky to have you here because this is technically your first time on Mic Check. You've been on our sister podcast,
yes.
Carving It Up, before.
Yeah. That's a podcast that I host in a parallel universe.
Yeah, and in that universe, Hillary Clinton is the president of the United States.
It is part of the cannibal. We've never said it on the podcast before.
It's time to reveal it today. Yeah. That is true. Okay, and so
things
you've been
are turning
on...
out worse there, I'll tell you that. It's scary. No, just kidding, guys. I'm progressive.
You sound... Yeah, yeah. You sound more Greek when you're doing a live podcast.
Really?
You really turn it on.
What's that
I
about?
Think so.
Plus, you're eating those wrapped vine leaves as well.
Well, I got to keep it up. I got to keep cool.
That's true. That's how you keep cool.
Just ingesting
hey,
small
little bits. Hey, dude, is it true you stuff those with weed?
Hey, yeah, can I say one thing? I love weed.
Dude, I love weed too. Fuck yeah. That's
dude.
Who here loves weed? Yes. Now, fuck. Becky, one thing that we'd love to know... You're right, Lex?
Yeah, dude.
Did it just dawn on you how dumb this podcast is?
Dude, I just started greening out on those Dolmarties. I can't hack it. I cannot hack it.
Becky, now, what is your relationship to Mike Myers? Tell me what you think of the guy.
Well, I always liked Austin Powers very much.
We actually did watch Austin Powers together many moons ago.
Oh, yeah, we did, but we never podcasted about it.
No. But you also, I was wearing this hat and I pretended I'd never seen the movie before and you believed me for 5 minutes, which was really weird, I thought.
Oh, you brought that beautiful beetroot dip.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. I liked that. Anyway, I do like, my dad was a big Mike Myers fan.
Yes, yes.
And that's where, and he always used to say, what's your point, Vanessa?
Which is something I
which
say.
Which is something I say.
Which is something
and
that
copied
I
it off
have
me.
Been known to say to people in conversation.
I said it the other day and your eyes flashed because you're annoyed that you, you're annoyed that you hadn't thought of it.
No. I.
Yes?
I don't see it like that. I see it more like I was saying it and then your eyes flashed.
No, see, I see it differently.
Okay, well, we agree to disagree.
But I'm more of a... this is just something I'm not part of. Not part
sometimes
of this
Alexi and I do things separately.
Yeah.
So would you say you're a fan of Mike?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I hated him in this movie.
Oh, boy.
Okay,
all
dude.
Right.
All
now
right,
let's
that's enough of this. I'm out of here. I don't want to hear this shit.
It made
let's
me
just
sick.
Ease it up.
I felt physically ill. But that was because I was eating quite a big soup at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
What soup are you eating these
lentil.
Days?
Lentil. And they started to expand in my stomach. I don't feel well.
Yeah, that's so the thing about lentils. They do expand in the stomach.
Yeah.
But the good thing is Becky is probably going to go into a delirium during this podcast and maybe she'll decide she enjoyed the movie.
I hope
which
so.
Is
God.
Much like your second experience watching it.
I'm here for Vern. I want to talk about Vern.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
That's the one thing that's off limits. We're not talking about Vern
Troyer tonight.
No, there will be some Vern talk.
I think we have to talk about that little taco. We've got to. We've just got to.
He's so small.
He's cute. He's cute. You wanted one. You said during the movie you want one.
Is this his first speaking role?
Absolutely. No, I technically...
Oh, Bubble Boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
anyone
sure.
Anyone seen Bubble Boy in this audience? Dude, that movie is fucking awesome. We're going to do a podcast on Bubble Boy.
Yeah, well, you can check that out on our spin-off podcast, Deck the Gyllenhaals. Yeah. We talk about Christmas movies and Jake Gyllenhaal movies. It's really niche. No one likes it.
It actually has been going for 4 years and we've not had one listen.
Not
yet.
One download.
Not even a search on Google. No one's looked it up. Should we bring out our next guest?
Absolutely. I'll bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited to bring him on. This is his first time on Mic Check. We've been wanting to have him for a long time. I'm very excited to bring him on. Please put your hands together. Welcome to the stage, Dilruk Jayasinghe! Yes! Woo! Yes!
I'll sit next to you, pal.
Thanks, Dil.
Thanks for coming, Dil.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy that the first episode I could do was the one about a white guy pretending to be Indian. I see what's happening in here. You needed one.
We actually had a big discussion. We said, all right, what's Nazim doing? Couldn't get Naz.
Waleed's in. Yeah.
Waleed was locked in for a long time, but other shit came up. We had to deal with the whole world crumbling.
I offered to blackface up.
Yeah.
And well, then you like, can consolidate it, girl. You know.
It cancels out. It's still diversity at the end of the day. Yeah.
It's progressive, but it just stays in one spot.
Absolutely. Now, Dil, I need to ask you a question.
Yes, mate.
What is your relationship like to Mike Myers?
I absolutely love Mike Myers.
Me too. He's awesome, dude.
Have you seen his movies?
Most of them.
Right.
I think almost all of them, yeah.
I'm a big fan. I loved Wayne's World growing up, and similar to you guys, I didn't get the overall joke. I thought they were sincerely cool.
Yeah.
And growing up in Sri Lanka, my brother and I would say things like, I introduce you in Grey Poupon and
oh god
we would go to a staircase and go stop one another and go no stairway denied and not know what that meant
like you
and also because it's Sri Lanka we did it with the wobble head as well so it was
so really? You guys literally thought the phrase no stairway referred to a staircase.
Yes,
tell us more about Sri Lanka. Yeah.
Houses in Sri Lanka had double stories.
Yeah, no, we swing one from with one vine to the other one to get to our tree house. That's how we
that's how I see it.
I love vines.
Now, guys, technically,
they're actually really good.
That's can I you love share that some shit, of man. Vines? I love that shit.
I know a lot about vines. That's the truth.
One costume dress up party, I wanted to go as the villain from the Daredevil movie, Kingpin. So I shaved my head to be like Michael Clark Duncan, and I wore this gray suit, and everyone thought I was Dr. Evil. And after a certain point, I'm like, yep, that's who I am. Like, no one knew who Kingpin was, and I realized.
Did you just at the start of the night, you're like being all tough, and then by the end, you're like $1 million.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely started walking around with my pinky on my lip.
Oh well, you got to lean into this shit.
It is called a tasty finger, just to let you know. Ooh. I have it for my Austin Powders encyclopedia.
Did you say Austin Powders?
Yeah, because
are you snorting some Austin Powders?
I get
Doctor
Evil and Powder Alexi confused Chase. All the time.
Alexi Chase needs to use Austin Powder.
Now that.
That's pretty funny. Fuck
That's
you.
Pretty funny.
God, it'd be so awesome if I was a druggo. That'd be cool.
It would be cool. I think we should bring in our final guest, and we got to get stuck into this movie.
He said brung.
I got to brung him on. This I'm from Newcastle,
and
I'm fully gonna brung him on, ladies and gentlemen. So,
do
if
it,
I
bros.
Could please get our round of applause started. You know him from the So I Married an Axe Murderer podcast,
yes.
And that is all, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the stage, Will Anderson.
Hello.
Hello. How you going?
I can. Has anyone got any deodorant so I can get the stink of this movie off?
Oh no! Thank you for holding up your promise to do this podcast with us when we finally came to the Love Guru.
I did say when I talked to you originally that it was would I do one I love, So I Married an Axe Murderer, or would I do the Love Guru, which I saw in cinemas when it came out. And I still remember a review I read about it the next day that we talked about on the radio because I love this review so much. And it just said, if shit got the Love Guru on it, shit would wipe it off.
I like that.
That is making you horny?
Yeah, that makes me, I don't want to say horny yet. I don't want to call it. But at this point, I've got a little bit of a tingling in my mojo.
Okay.
That is all I'll
say. Getting a little spicy.
Yeah. Now, we've asked you what you think about Mike. Yeah. I want to ask you now, you've had some hindsight, how do you feel about Mike right now, Will?
You know what? Like, no, I love Mike Myers, mostly. But this is certainly one of those movies that does answer that question, what happened to Mike Myers? Like, when you watch it, you really do go, oh, yeah, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Fuck, it can all end so quickly.
Oh, my God. You're right. I think we should delve right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Love Guru. Have you got a synopsis there for us?
Yes,
Mike?
I wrote a little bit of myself into it this time. I've written a spiritual one, and I've also brought us the iTunes one because I think it covers a lot that we can bounce off of. So The Love Guru from 2008, directed by Julian Schnabel. No, Michael Schnabel. Okay. Julian Schnabel directed Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Different guy.
A similarly torturous film. Now, I need to, just for the horny babies at home listening, I need to explain that Alexi's eyes glaze over when he does these synopses, and he stares into a middle distance that I like to call the mic distance.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to go ahead, please, Alexi.
All right. This is one of Mike Myers' most personal movies. He's deeply appreciative of Eastern philosophy. He sought the help of gurus like Deepak Chopra after the death of his father. And as we all and as we all know, he has a deep love of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the hockey team. This is a film that blends the two through an exhaustive amount of setup. And so here is the iTunes review that I think is quite upsetting. A hilarious comedy starring Mike Myers as Guru Pitka in his first original character since the blockbuster hit Austin Powers. Myers plays an American raised in India by gurus Tugan Maputa and such a big knobber who does not appear in the film. That's my deleted scene. And returns to the US in order to break into the self-help business. His unorthodox methods are put to the test when he must settle the romantic troubles and subsequent professional skid of a star hockey player played by Romany Malco, whose wife left him for rival athlete Jacques Lecoq Grand, played by Justin Timberlake.
My favourite comedian,
yeah,
by the way.
He's so funny, dude.
Favourite comedian.
And also the final sentence, Becky, this is for you, from the actual synopsis. Mini-Me is back. From Austin Powers and plays the hockey coach for more classic comedic moments that will have audiences laughing from opening to closing credits.
Oh, right. I didn't know what that meant. Laughing from opening a vein.
They don't even call him Vern. They called him Mini-Me. They just said Mini-Me is back.
That is really upsetting.
And they assume audiences are going to love it.
Yeah.
Like, y'all ever wanted to punch a little guy? You're going to love this.
Now, Becky, why did you like... I'm going to call him Vern. I've got to give him
Please,
some dignity.
Him
he has none
Please,
in this film.
Call
why
him.
Did you like Vern so much?
Well, he's so small.
Yeah. Good That's work it? With the dignity thing.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. He yeah. has no dignity, and I like that.
Yeah, you like.
The, you I don't have much.
It was really good how he was small, but also they just constantly made fun of him for being small.
Through my extensive research on this film, I found an interview where Mini-Me says
his name's Vern. Sorry, please.
No,
for the love of God, please
okay,
call him Vern.
An interview with actor Vern Troyer, who did play Coach Jerkoff in this movie.
That Wait a minute, that was his name?
Yeah, yeah. Coach Jerkoff.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. I didn't think
one
that.
One of the best things about this movie is going through at all the comic names. Like, they've all got, like, his assistant's called Richard something as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dick joke as well. Every
Dick Pants.
Dick Pants. Yeah.
Played by John Oliver, who's really tearing up the news scene these days. So we all know where it started now.
All right, so what were you saying about Vern?
So, Vern Troyer was very excited to do this movie because he was so happy that Mike Myers wanted him back and to play a character who was a hockey coach. And he was so touched because people of his stature and size don't normally get to play people with normal jobs like that. And I was like, oh,
normally they have to be a peewee hockey coach.
And I was like, oh, that sounds so nice. And then when I finally watched the movie, he's like works in a fucking Being John Malkovich office, like one quarter the size. Every joke is about him being tiny and stuff like that. And the first thing he says, yeah, I'm going to break open my dink bag. And it's just like, I thought he was going to be treated with respect, you
know? Maybe that's his real office. We don't know that.
Well, when we got to that scene.
But if that is his real office, that's still poor planning, unless he's also only having meetings with people who are a similar size.
True.
Now, right? bit of trivia for you all, guys, because during that scene, Becky, that was when she switched on to the movie. Mm. She was like, I love this office. I love this cute little office space. I did some extensive research on the IMDb trivia page.
Yes, this is some good, guys. I'm about to say it before you say it. Yeah. I love this stuff. Let's
all right,
do
you
it.
Love this kind of shit. Okay, Vern Troyer kept most of the mini furniture from this office.
You.
To furnish his own home.
I told you.
Okay. Now, how do you
guys, we broke deal. We broke deal.
How do you think that comes up? Is that at the end of the scene, Vern's eyeing the stuff? Yeah, like, you guys are going to have no use for this, right?
Yeah. He's putting a red dot underneath all the chairs and shit.
You know what? I'm moving out of my Barbie dream house, and this will be perfect. So...
Isn't that insane? He probably still has that little desk at home. What's he writing? I want to know what he's writing. What's
his memoirs? Actually, I'll tell you.
A spin-off about the coach.
I do know. I know a little Vern Troyer in real life.
A little one.
Gossip.
A little gossip.
I actually do. Apparently very famous at Hollywood parties. His like go-to trick is that they will put a line of cocaine, like an entire gram of cocaine, in one line on a table, and then they hold him by his legs, and he hoovers it all up, and he calls it the Hoover. Yeah,
no,
that's apparently that's a true. Yes, correct.
There's your Austin powder.
Wow,
very
good. That's
that
awesome.
Is a great fact, and I think when he tragically does pass away. Because he's too small. And that is...
Because taller people never die.
Where does he sleep?
Where does he sleep?
I know, you were so into him.
In a matchbox, what did he say? Just tucks himself
maybe in a little trouser leg of him.
Aww. Well, let's talk about him in this movie. I think he did the best he could, to be honest, if I'm going to be honest with you guys. You're right, he was given fuck all to play with, and they beat him up in like every scene, it seems like. Not only do they call him small, but The movie ends with Mike Myers punching him in the face.
Yeah.
I know, it's so weird.
And did anyone stay for the end credits?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's like the weirdest thing ever is that the very end, there's one blooper. It's not a blooper reel. Right, they just show one blooper. Just like, guys, we need a fucking laugh in this movie. Put one blooper in. And the ending, I don't even know what... I don't know how to describe the shot because he's not of... traditional human size, but I would say it's a wide shot, and it's him on the standing up. I was going to say on the floor, but he is standing up. He is.
This is not the hard part. Yeah. Yeah. This is why I'm doing.
Why are you spiraling right now?
I can't help it. I don't know how to politically talk about this right now. I'm trying. So he's standing up, and you can hear someone, the director perhaps, say like, "Hey, can we zoom in? All I'm seeing is ass." And then Vern retorts, "Now you know what it's like." And then everyone loses it. And it's so cute because you see Vern, like, just really go, like, he's killed. Oh. And he's really loving it. Yeah. But then Pete, you can hear clapping, but none of the extras are clapping. You can see that. So I'm a little dubious of the clapping.
You think
the
footage has been faked?
I think it's been faked.
Well,
I'm a truther on this matter.
I mean, I do think this is the movie where there's more people laughing at Mike Myers' jokes on screen than there are in the audience. Because there's constantly scenes in this movie of, like, him telling a joke and then the other person going, and you're like, what do they get that I don't get?
Yeah, Jess Alba was really turning it on. Yeah.
That's the thing.
I reckon. She was really faking it.
Much like what you said, it took you two viewings to realise Jessica Alba was in this. We kept forgetting she was in the movie as well. Yeah. And then she'd pop up every now and then just to... It seems like her job was... They just said, hey, guys... hey, Jess.
Yeah.
No, I said guys. They talked to her entourage. Hey, Jess.
Talking to her tits.
Can you just... Hey, you two. And she's like, hey, eyes up here. And they're like, no, don't give a shit, Jess. They said, Jess, can you please just pretend you really want to fuck Mike Myers in every scene? That seems like that's all she wanted to... Like, she got hired to pretend to have chemistry with Mike Myers, and it really fucking upset me.
Yeah. And her response to that was like, I'll see on the day. I don't know if I can.
It felt like there's contractual stuff throughout the whole movie. Like, her management's like, she's not doing that. She's not doing that. And they're like, come on. And then right at the end, he kisses her. Did you see that? Like, kiss at the end. But it's like, I reckon up until that, the hour before they're in negotiations.
But it's so weird because you see it straight away. Like, she is the Liz Hurley type. She's the Vanessa Kensington. But the relationship you can't buy at all because there is no conflict between them. Because she's like, yeah, I do like you. I've had a crush on you forever. And you're like, okay, let's...
You're forgetting the chastity bill. That's the conflict.
True. I don't think that's enough because it just suppresses his own horniness. And that is an upsetting thing for the conflict to be. You see him, the only reason they're knocking up is because his horniness has been held in. If it was let loose, things would be going crazy right now.
What about her arc of being like the unlucky charm or whatever off the maple leaves?
Yeah, I forgot about that. I've seen the movie 4 times. I forgot about that.
They gave her a bit of that, like where she yells back at the crowd and the crowd's like, all right, she's okay.
She's cool. I hope she gets to fuck Mike. Come on, all right.
I hope they allow it. I hope they make it happen.
Now, Alexa, you've watched it 4.5 times. Yeah. Can you tell all of us, including our guest here, what actually happens in this movie? Because I honestly, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
So Mike Myers plays Guru Maurice Pitka, I think his name is.
Sure.
Something like that. he's American. He grew up in India for some reason because his parents died.
They don't say why he ended up there, do they?
No. They went to great lengths to let him do the accent, essentially.
The best scene of the movie, in my opinion, is the scene where they go, all right, we'll explain this all. So we do know that Mike is not in brown face. He is an American man with a big nose that is plastered onto his face in a very upsetting manner. He's here where they show us... It's the best scene where he meets Ben Kingsley as Guru Thagadmaputta.
Yep.
And he is a young boy with digitally...
By the way, Ben Kingsley is both an Oscar winner and a knight of the British realm.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Ben Kingsley.
Sorry, Sir Ben Kingsley.
And this is his second time doing brown face?
Well,
no, but he actually is
bit
like,
of a backstory, yeah. Yes. His dad is Indian.
Oh, okay, so it's okay.
And his real name is like Krishna, some ethnic name. And but it's he's a full Indian. I mean, half Indian guy. So I guess that gives him a little bit of permission to do whatever the fuck that character was. Yeah. Why was the cross-eyed thing? That's Caesar.
And there was CGI
actor.
Cross eyes as
oh,
well.
Really?
That's what fucked me up.
Well, yeah, I'm like, you're an Oscar winner, Ben. Cross your own fucking eyes.
So you fucking work, dude. Yeah.
If Wayne Troyan can cross his little legs, you can cross your fucking eyes, I think.
So the scene is he's playing like a 7 or 8 year old boy. I don't know how old kids are meant to be. And he has like a digitally, they've digitally put Mike Myers' actual human head onto this kid. And he looks like a bobblehead. Like he looks like a, he looks like that slimy character from Disney's Recess. Like he's just got this huge head and a very
this guy loves it.
A very spindly body, like a lampshade or something like that. And what? But he's so funny in it because it's like he's like, where are your parents? He's like, my parents died. They were missionaries. What did they do before they were missionaries? They were doggy stylists.
And really then, funny. That is so funny.
But guys, unless you haven't got the joke yet,
yeah.
Luckily they decided to keep going and tell you the rest of the joke.
So funny.
So if you didn't get it, they used to do doggy style. Now they're in the missionary position. And now they're dead. So.
Yeah. Tragically, we did lose their parents.
We did lose. We did lose Guru Pitka's parents.
We did lose them.
Do you think Mike, the actor, was tapping into him losing his real dad in that scene?
I mean, the guy can't stop tapping into that shit. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned,
Mike loves tapping his dead dad.
Shit, yeah. I swear to God,
loves tapping.
That's the
dead
reason
dad.
He made this movie. You know, he made this movie because after his father died, he found spiritualism. And he got into Deepak Chopra and everything, so he decided to honour his father by making a movie about a guru who can't fuck Jessica Alba, essentially. In the most respectful way you can.
Also, that's a very heteronormative way of thinking about sex. I mean, your face isn't covered, mate.
So true.
That's true.
Is Mike Myers' mum still alive?
Tragically, yes, she is still.
Whoa, wait. Don't say tragic. Imagine the content we're going to get when she cocks it. It's going to be.
Yeah, we might get there's the revival. Too. That
we
could
might
be good.
Get a whole new movie.
Yeah.
Shrek 5 coming. Hopefully, a few years down the line. Let's not.
Now,
let's
why not. Do you think this was your favorite scene of the film?
Because it's so fucking weird. It's like the key scene because it literally is to go. Guys, we're not fucked up. We're just making a shit movie here. We're not doing anything. We're all above board. He is a white.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That guy in this movie is not doing brown face, but let's show a scene where it's like an old kung fu movie where he... I just can't get... To be honest, the first thing I thought was very disturbing, that face.
Yeah.
Then I just grew to love it. Absolutely grew to love it.
There is that moment too, because of course every single scene in this movie has to have some sort of sex joke of some kind.
Of course.
And that one does finish with the hilarious, when they put the chastity belt on and he asks the guru, can I still use self-love? And the guru says, no. It'll make you cross-eyed, because he's cross-eyed, you see?
That's so awesome.
Ben
I
Kingsley,
love that shit.
Oscar winner, that. Yeah. Knight of the British Realm.
I love jerking off, man. It's so good. It's so much fun.
It actually feels so nice,
it feels
guys.
So good.
It does feel so nice.
I've never done it.
Man, you've got to do it.
Maybe this live pod.
Now, you've raised
we'll
a great
get that chastity belt off you point, any day at the end of this.
You've raised a great point, Will, which is that this film is a horny film. I dare say it's hornier than all three Austin Powers movies combined. But for some reason, the horniness is not fun in any way during this film.
Because it's
uncomfortable.
From that perspective of a guy who has never fucked, whereas...
Whoa, dude.
Sorry, guys. I'll say it.
Shag, please, sorry. Please.
No, well, yeah, does he shag? I guess he would... all Austin, Mike Myers characters shag. They don't fuck. They don't make
Shrek
love.
Shrek shags,
they just
dude.
Shag. So, yeah, he has never done it. He's never experienced the touch of another... on his nethers. But so I think that all the horniness doesn't come from a place of experience. It comes from speculation. So it's very school... this is weird. So it's very very schoolyard humour. Okay, it's schoolboy laden filth. That's my review.
I don't like it when
schoolboy laden filth.
I don't like it when you can hear the boner knocking against the chastity belt. And I think it wouldn't have gotten a single laugh. Like in crew or like rehearsal.
They would have added that in post, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he got a real erection that made that noise.
What? What are you saying?
Like, now, Mike, here's some magazines. We'll have the sound crew come. Mike, you up down there?
There's a boom guy there at the bottom. Just to get that.
Guys, we got it. All right, cut.
Jessica Alba vomits into a bucket.
Which leads me to my next question, guys. In this disgustingly schoolyard-laden, filth, horny film, did anything at all make you horny? Let's go around the horn. That was unintentional, but also amazing. Thank you.
Not a once. Not even a once.
Okay, no things. Dill?
Heaps.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because growing up, in Sri Lanka.
Tell us about Sri Lanka.
I grew up watching Baywatch. But everyone around me would be wearing saris in real life, right? Yeah. So for the first time I got to see an attractive white woman in a sari, very horny baby.
Is Jessica Alba white?
Oh well, whatever. I mean, she's white enough, isn't she?
I actually don't know anything about Jessica Alba.
I think she's got a touch of Latina.
She's got a touch of the Vin Diesels about her, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
she's
a
bit of the Vin Diesels.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey style, you know?
Yes.
What's going on there?
Let's unpack race. Let's start by
much like this movie tries.
Oh, boy.
So you actually got horny in this.
Well, there's a scene where they do a he goes into his third eye and they do like a dance, like a Bollywood thing.
Oh,
like that is actually very accurate the way they've filmed it and done it. It's almost like a scene by scene of this like old film.
Yeah.
So those kind of things, I'm like, nah, good work. You've actually put some thought into the product. From an outside perspective, it just seems very racist and forced in. But I'm like, oh, they actually try to match the original pretty well.
Well, we said that.
Yeah.
Those Bollywood scenes were the most captivating thing of the whole movie.
Right. Like, the dancing at the end, nice. She's actually a really good Bollywood dancer as well. So, yeah, I liked it. That was horny. Also seen, again,
Bert. Yeah, that was horny.
Vern Troy, again, you know, crossing his legs, meditating, very horny.
Yeah, breaking his stink bag, as he does say, which I cannot lose that from my mind.
Will?
Well, okay.
By the way, can I just say that one of my favourite things in the world is to have you on this show just to ask you if this made you horny.
I've got to stop sending you guys messages about things that make me horny. There was definitely a moment early on the first time I saw it where I got a little horny.
Okay.
Back in the day in the cinema?
Back in the day, because I was a big comedy fan.
Absolutely.
And I went into that movie expecting comedy. But early on, not knowing who else was going to be in it, I was already a fan of John Oliver. And I was like, oh, this is pretty exciting. John Oliver's in this movie. And then they go to the commentators, and it's Jim Gaffigan, who I think is one of the best comedians in the world, and Stephen Colbert, like, together, like, doing this thing together. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. Well, I'm horny.
Yeah.
I'm horny right now. Cool.
Comedy horny, yeah.
Yeah.
Which does count, guys, so please check yourselves at this show.
And in that vein, we were saying this movie's tarnished more careers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just by association. Like, because I got horny for the cameos too, but then at a certain point you start realising, all of them wouldn't ever tell anyone they're in this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, Daniel Tosh is in it.
Daniel Tosh is in it.
It's really a movie of everyone who's in it has gone on to superstar. It's like the turning point where Mike Myers went from superstar and then everyone he touched went on from that moment. Because, yeah, the list, like, Kanye is in the fucking film.
Right.
Yeah.
The mic is touched. They got everyone else gone. But also, you got to think from those actors' point of view that they might have, like, you know, Stephen Colbert and Gaffigan, they would have just been shooting those scenes. They might have not got the rest of the film at all. And they're thinking, fuck, the guy who did Austin Powers and Wayne's World wants us in his movie.
Yeah.
This is going to be killer. Like, all of those guys would have been so excited.
Yeah.
And then imagine them sitting at the premiere watching the rest of the film when an elephant's fucking another elephant in an ice hockey stadium.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Which actually is the literal climax of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's elephants fucking.
Just
no,
that.
Implied elephant fucking.
Okay.
Because you see like their heads and stuff, but you never actually
you don't see
like,
it go in. Yeah. But in the screenplay...
You don't see full penetration.
I have read the screenplay. It says, you see it go in.
Yeah.
It goes all the way in, then comes back out, then goes back in Grimsby style.
Yeah. If I could bring that back to Vern.
Absolutely. And does this tie into the thing that made you horny?
Yeah.
Okay,
apparently Vern is married to a porn star.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
That's so cool, man. I love. Now, you, when you were met with that piece of information, you said he must use his hands.
Yeah, I imagine I imagine it's that.
Like Superman flying into outer space.
Wow. Now, did anything make you horny in this film?
No, not really. But I was eating that big soup.
Yeah, sure.
So I was out of it.
What soups make you horny? Yeah.
What makes me horny?
No, soups.
Oh, soups. Yeah. What sort of soups?
Yeah.
Clam chowder.
Yeah, anything with a fishy kind of... I don't know.
Cameron, what about you? Did you get horned up, bro?
Thanks for asking, bruv.
No worries.
Yeah, I think maybe... The general naughtiness is something that's like a bit, like it does stir something within you. When there's people just constantly making sex jokes, you start going, oh, I'm thinking about sex now. But in this movie, I think I reached horniness and then it just like quickly fell off and plateaued.
How did that happen? I'd love to go into that. You said you reached full horniness like, and then something happened.
It's almost as if
you're no longer horny. So what happened?
It's almost as if the feeling expelled my body. At a rapid rate.
Like two elephants on a hockey stadium.
Yeah, if I could find a word. It's almost as if the feeling ejaculated my body.
Okay.
And then I... Yeah, anyway. Then
that
I was
feels
no longer
nice.
I lost interest, weirdly. Okay. Yeah. No, nothing really made me horny in this. It was too weird for me. I just kept thinking... I think what it is the character says similar things that Austin Powers might say, but the character isn't funny in any way. So every time he's on screen, I'm just like, fucking shut up, cunt.
Yeah.
You should be Austin Powers. What are you doing?
Because it's not the characters should be leading a film whatsoever.
No.
If he was like they originally planned in Spy Who Shagged Me, that Guru Pitka was to be Austin's love guru.
To help him get his mojo back.
Get his mojo back, get it working. I think that's funny because if Austin, who is a truly funny guy, is playing off a guy who he thinks is absolutely not funny at all, that's funny shit.
Now,
that's great.
I sourced out the original screenplay for The Spy Who Shagged Me and I found the scene with Guru Pitka.
Get out.
There we go.
And Austin Powers in it. And I don't think, it's very short, but I still don't think we should do it.
By the way, now that I know it's based on a cutout scene from another movie, do you think he just made this entire movie as a warning to never cut out scenes from his other movies?
What's strange about it? When did Spy Who Shagged Me came out?
1999, directed by Jay Roach.
Okay.
Can I ask before you read anything, does it have the sign Love Groovy Baby in it? Does it have that
No,
line?
That does not happen.
Well, that sucks.
That's why you need to work on the Austin Powers 4 film.
Yes.
So this movie came out in 2008.
2008.
So that means nearly a decade passed and it is exactly the same jokes from the Love Guru. The piss... fight bucket thing. What was that called?
Stink the stink mop.
That is in it.
What was that about?
Can I ask an honest question? That. Is stink mop funny?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. It's official. It's canon. It is not funny.
No one asked me about it.
The
Let's
scene
keep going.
Is... The scene is essentially Austin coming to Guru Pitka to ask for help getting his mojo back. And it's a back and forth between them with Austin going, I'm having trouble performing, baby. And then Guru going... Your bits and pieces are a bit sleepy. Sorry, I'm
do
not
the voice
I
better.
Can't hear the accent.
Did you want me to do it?
That's actually why we got you here. But I got to say, reading an Austin Powers script just points out how depressing. It's just, it's every second word is baby, and you're like, oh, this is not writing at all. This is, like, it's really depressing to read. But it is exactly scenes from The Love Guru, but all condensed into one scene between the two of them. And I got to say, it works better on the page here than it does in the movie.
Oh, really?
I would have much preferred to see Guru Pitka in one scene of Spy Who Shagged. I think it could have been a funny character.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so too, because I think on paper, it's kind of a funny character. Oh, I'll just say, it's a funny character on paper where it's a guy who is... outwardly, his persona is someone who's in all into self-help, love yourself so you can love others, and all about that philosophy. But his true self is someone who is capitalistic, desperate for money, and desperate for fame. I think that's a funny...
like the Bikram yoga guy and all those. Yeah. They're kind of fraudulent a little bit in
exactly.
that sense.
Exactly, yeah. I think there's a good enough comedic gap between those two things for it to be a conflict for a side character. But as we see in this movie, he's a fucking side character in his own movie because he has no stakes. He has no growth in this movie. They all have to go,
there
well,
is the growth.
Get...
You hear the growth.
Yeah, you do. You hear it.
But I think, like, sorry, I almost
but
died
even,
then.
But it's so true, though. Like, because there is no growth of him in this entire film, including the fact that at the end it's even revealed that the chastity belt itself didn't have any high stakes to it. Like, the whole premise is, like, there's no heist. Anyway, why am I thinking about it this seriously?
Well, I mean, don't say that because I'm going to crumble you. We're not meant to analyze these movies that seriously. But
see, that's what's happening in the ground.
God, they're turning on
but
us.
But like, even the joke when they're driving in the car and there was something like, do you know Dick Withers at 85 or something like that? And it's like, well, it actually does. That's a Wayne's World joke.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like he had that ready to go for Wayne's World and they couldn't fit it in. So it's like, oh, let's just this character say it.
And speaking of, did anyone notice Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, that was the highlight of the film for me. That and the Kanye West cameo, I reckon. I love that.
That was the only time I laughed was when Bohemian Rhapsody came on and he looked at the camera and I was like, oh!
He looked at you
he
and
looked
so.
At me. Yeah.
Yeah, when your favourite moment of a film is when it reminds you of another film.
Very true, very true.
Do you think Mike Myers actually thinks, like, nuts are funny?
Absolutely.
That's such a bad scene. Because the cooking like, scene.
But all everything is essentially
sorry,
about getting kicked
them?
In the... What?
See?
No, the
nuts.
What are those things
cooking.
Called?
The cooking.
What?
It's a cooking. Oh, I'm talking about balls.
Yeah. You know where he's the
chef.
Yeah,
they're making
guy,
the balls.
Yeah. What the fuck
is
that?
But it's everything. Like... Everything is for him always about getting like kicked in the nuts or.
Yeah.
Dill, is that a real treat?
What is it? I can't remember what they put into it. So it's like dough sack with what in it?
We have it all the time for birthdays, when people get married. You know, it's a traditional brown dish. No,
hey, Dill.
No, it's soap, yeah.
Do you miss Sri Lanka?
Yeah, all the time, baby.
Tell us about Sri Lanka.
No, but that seemed like a scene. You know how in, I think it's Spy Who Shagged Me or whatever, where there's the silhouette of the tent and then there's, those gags where it seemed like that was his version of that in this where... Oh, let's make this food item look like something sexual and then he's dipping it and stuff.
It
misses the mark so much. Like, you could do so much more with, like, I don't know, like an actual papadum or some shit. I don't know. Like, why create...
I want to see your love guru. Let's make that now.
It's so disappointing.
You know what really depresses me is that he wrote this film over a 3-year period. And it was 3 years is how long it took him to write this film.
1 hour a year.
And you gotta wonder, like, what the fuck was he doing? Like, why did it take him 3 years to write this thing?
Well, he didn't know how to finish it, and then the elephant bit hit him like, that's how we get two elephants to fuck, and that's what makes our main character not distracted and then shoot the goal. Fuck off. Like, that is so...
Well, it was influenced by the death of his dad, and maybe his intention was to make everyone in the cinema feel as bad as he did.
Okay, something positive if I can throw on. I found Justin Timberlake to be funny. I thought,
what's up with you? That's weird.
Now Becky has some opinions on this.
You're just wrong.
So it's one opinion.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's one opinion.
To me, he's like a charisma vacuum in this movie.
Oh, he's
normally pretty funny, Justin Timberlake.
No,
I think
that's a thing that we like to say.
Oh, is that not true?
I think it's one of those things where because we've seen him be funny with Jimmy Fallon once on a SNL sketch that we all like, no, he is funny. Yeah.
Guys, yeah. There's a hot funny guy out there. I prove it. It's Justin Timberlake.
when he was dancing to Celine Dion, quote unquote, I laughed. I just found it so stupid. Like, just the fact that he's such this mega pop star and he's doing this movie and he's just embracing it. You know what I mean? He didn't hold back. He was like, this is a fucking silly movie. I'm just going to go for it. And I kind of enjoyed
but
that.
But
Dil,
you wake up smiling.
I think you have the same condition I have where you're just like, yeah, everything's funny.
Yeah, you gotta give effort. Give some, like, he put an effort into it. He didn't, like, phone it in. He had a decent crack. Especially when he's like,
what high praise.
when his head.
A professionally paid actor actually did his job.
But here's the thing. Here's where the point of difference. When he's getting his head smashed into the side of the goal, his eyes go cross-eyed in real time, not CGI. So he did better than Ben Kingsley there. Yeah. Give him a fucking Oscar and knight him.
A little technique there, I like it.
He also, Mike actually developed this character by performing live around
New York City,
in Greenwich Village.
From New York.
Yeah, live from New York, it's Guru Pitka. He did the character in comedy clubs and like coffee houses, allegedly. Mm. That's like such a Mike thing to do, to be like,
I know.
I'm just performing it in coffee houses in Greenwich Village, man.
Got to be there, because they're all like, they would be the cool people, like the ones that you really want to impress. Were they laughing at this? Like him going like, yes, I've written this book, it's called... put your hand like this and then not like this or whatever. And they're like, yeah, Mikey! I love Austin!
Well, what do you guys think, if you could imagine what this character would do live, what do you think that would be?
Live from New York.
Yeah, sorry, live from New York. What do you think this character would be doing live? Silence fell across the dais.
I mean, I would have liked to see a movie that was about him doing that character in comedy clubs.
If that's
what the movie had been, right? They made a documentary of like Mike Myers 10 years after he was like this guy who's like the top of the world, had the biggest like comic character in the world, and then 10 years later trying to follow up that big comic character, decides to launch his new character, and he decides on this, and he's like haunted by the death of his father, and he's into new spiritualism, and it's kind of like Metallica's Some Kind of Monster. Spiritualist.
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
And he's going to the clubs and he's doing it, and everyone's laughing, but they're not laughing for the reason he thinks they're laughing, but he doesn't know that. And then
amazing.
That was the movie. I would be into that movie.
And then he gets he gets kicked in the nuts.
And we finally get to see the elephant's dick go in as his true vision stated. No, that would be an exciting film. That would be cool.
Well, that's kind of what this podcast is, I guess, is that disturbing thing. But that would be also a little Borat
as
well.
The elephant dick going in? Is that what this podcast
well, I
is?
I guess that as well.
I mean, can we talk? I know I don't want to skip ahead, but like, can we talk, just really talk about the elephant's fucking? Because at the start.
Okay.
At the start, when he came in on the elephant in the opening scenes, I was like, oh, man, look at the budget you must have had for this movie. You've got like an elephant in this. And then at the end, where like there's two elephants, and then they just start fucking. I believe on ice, right?
Yeah. You don't see that with Disney.
I mean, that. But you got to admire that, because when an elephant's ever on ice, to be able to keep that sort of balance on there.
Fuck,
you
that's
just,
so true.
And they had to get them horny.
Are they horny?
Well,
they're horny
have
on
fucking.
The ice.
They're
fucking
on top
Cameron.
Of each other.
True,
not
but
fucking
I think they were just
style.
Dude, we've all fucked when we're not horny. Let's not. We all thumb it in from time to time.
I don't like this.
Better than every joke in that movie.
Every now and then I crack out a hoof around the bean, and that is one of them. That is one of them, I think. Jesus Christ.
We probably need to be wrapping up a little bit sooner. Should we go around and do... Is there anything else we want to do before we get into our Micah's Touch? Which is best gags.
I think we should go straight to the Micah's Touch.
Do you want to start? Do you have one, Cameron?
No, I want you to start,
okay,
please.
Well... I actually wrote a couple of best gags. One was the entire childhood scene, but the other one is when he is at the hockey game, he's telling Romany Malco, he says, it is a problem. Even Jay-Z had 99 of them, and the bitch was not one of them. The way that he's the staccato of his rhythm just, it cacked the shit out of me. I was like, I love this shit. This is it. I was zoned in. I was like, this is the... I think that might be the funniest thing he's ever said. And being at the dialogue is pretty hacky, but the staccato is the best shit I've ever heard in my life.
The staccato!
Yes, the staccato. He said, but the bitch was not one of them. So funny. so, so funny.
Yeah, that's dude. It's problematic that you just did the accent. Well, that's I don't even remember that joke at all. Either of you guys remember it? I don't remember it at all. My favorite, I think the Micah's Touch has to be the Bohemian Rhapsody reference there. But I think one scene that made me laugh a lot was when the first time he's talking to Vern Troyer and he's doing basically what Austin does to Mini-Me, where he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't get your gnome. Name! Like that.
Yeah.
It's so fucking dumb.
It's because you love Molly, Molly, Molly.
I love Molly,
you
Molly,
love
Molly.
Yeah. It's the same
exactly
thing.
Molly, Molly, Molly. <It's>
But I think as well, just on that as well, the relationship between him and Vern is not unlike in Austin Powers, where it's very antagonistic and adversarial. But because Vern Troyer is just a guy with a job, not a demon clone, it's just really mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Before we go to the other mic chair, I can't believe we haven't talked about Mariska Hargitay or whatever.
Well, here's what I would say about Mariska Hargitay, because I think originally when I first saw that film as like a Law and Order fan, the first time he said, I was like, is he saying Mariska Hargitay?
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty funny. This movie will probably be really good. And then by the 11th time he'd said it, and then you finally see Mariska Hargitay, I was like, I feel like that should have happened earlier.
Yeah.
You were ready to check into the special victims unit after that.
Can I pitch a joke? When he met Mariska Hargitay, he should have got two erections that went bong bong.
That is it.
Amazing.
How did they miss that?
That's it. Because that's the joke. Instead of her going like, hey, we've got a little model here.
Yeah, no,
you
know, it's a stupid push.
The special victims unit, but he's got the button. That's my. You know what? You know what your next podcast should be after this one? It should be you rewrite the love joke.
Yeah.
We should go in and do like a Phantom Edits. That should be our next project.
Can I?
Go for Grace.
But we put more Jar Jar Binks into this one.
If you do a version of it, can I audition for Elephant Number 2, please?
Please.
I don't want to play the guru. Fuck that.
I quite like the Morgan Freeman intro, like the voiceover intro, because at the time that was like a funny joke. And I was like, oh, it's good that they got Morgan Freeman. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, no, it wasn't Morgan Freeman.
Was it a sound alike?
No, it was like a sound alike.
That is depressing. I just assumed it was Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, me too.
He's, in hindsight, very smart.
Until this morning.
Oh, no.
Celine Dion and Morgan Freeman both have the same manager. They're like, they're not doing it.
Wait, that wasn't actually Celine Dion's back of head? Oh, no.
On the accent thing as well, I've got to say, I did think he did a decent Deepak Chopra. Like, in his trying to mimic Deepak Chopra, he actually gets the voice pretty good.
Good on him.
Yeah. sorry to bring positivity to this.
No,
I'm trying.
I think
you've got it confused with the scene that Deepak Chopra was in.
Yeah. But that was nice that they actually got the main guy in there.
I don't think they're on set at the same time either. They weren't in.
No, there are. I watched a documentary behind the scenes, and
you should.
It is there.
Deepak wasn't in the wide. They didn't shoot the wide.
They didn't do the wide.
Deepak wasn't in like a tunnel. No, like the ET style, just
but
coming in.
It's weird that he's not wearing costume. He's just wearing like a sweater vest, and just seems like he just came.
But that's
as
his
is.
Costume. Brown people don't need to wear.
That's not
garb.
What I meant.
Some no, we can wear jackets as well, and sweater.
We're all very disappointed you didn't come in your costume.
That's not what I meant.
Alexi, how come you weren't wearing a toga or whatever your people wear, or a fucking tracksuit or some shit?
That's
Jesus Christ. I can say it because I'm his friend, but I'm not proud of myself.
See, guys, racism can be funny. He just got it wrong.
Becky, what was your favourite gag in this movie?
Vern and the Little Office.
Yeah, you loved it. Yeah. And you does good. It make the gag richer that he still has all that furniture?
Oh, it's so... it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Because I said to you, I said, this is actually helpful to him.
Yeah, you did.
This is best. This is for the best.
Yeah, but it makes me wonder what's going on for the rest of that floor and that building.
Yeah.
Well,
there's
you
a pond
step
star.
Up into it.
Oh, you step up. It's like
it's
a
like
loft
a little,
space.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Okay.
Oh my god, with a little paperweight.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a stone.
You want to Vern Troyer, don't
you? Yeah.
All right.
I also liked when one of the Stephen Colbert, one of the announcers. Apologise for bashing someone.
It was actually Dame Judi Dench.
Oh, yeah, he freaked out. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, when he had that meltdown scene and he calls someone, what was it, asshole face or something? That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
They were all right.
Before we move on, we'll ask, we'll see if anyone has any questions. So think of those. If you have any questions, I will read you, to me, maybe the most fun slash disturbing fact that I found. So the editor of this movie, there's two editors of this movie. One is Lee Haxel. This groovy movie one is Lee Haxel, who's just a working editor. He did Meet the Fockers, Crazy Stupid Love, episodes of The Shield, and Arrested Development. The other editor is Billy Weber, who is most notably the collaborating editor of Terrence Malick.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So Terrence Malick, as everyone knows, one of the most Kubrickian of all auteurs who lives in solitude, not unlike Mr. Mike Myers. So the guy that edited this movie also edited Days of Heaven and Tree of Life.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that just the weirdest shit?
Jesus Christ.
That said, Malick's only making a movie once every 5 years. This guy's got to pay his bills.
Yes.
Well, he does so by working on other great movies. He collaborated with Walter Hill on The Warriors. He edited The Warriors. He also edited many of Tony Scott's films, Fred Shepsie's movies, Tim Burton, and Martin Brest. He edited Beverly Hills Cop, Midnight Run, and then at a similar time where his career also begins to decline, he edited Geely. Geely, one of the most famous flops.
My favourite Bennifer film, one, though. I love it.
Gobble.
Wow, okay. Well, I guess that is proof that some great talent do slum it. As you can also see by today's panel as well, we've got a map. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we should get some questions. Do you want to
any
get questions?
Anyone have any anyone questions? Have any questions? Come over this way. Wait, come run over here so I can mic you. Sorry, that's not a euphemism. That is, so it's not.
I'm glad that people have questions, by the way, because I felt like for much of this podcast, people hadn't even seen the movie.
I was just expecting you to have a really intense breakdown like you did with Pete's Meteor, and I was a bit bummed that you didn't have a breakdown.
So, well, what your question is, why aren't you losing your shit?
Well, thank you for that, I guess.
It's official, the people want to see you spiral.
Okay, well, I'll be honest, I didn't spiral, thank you, Holly, because the movie only cost me $6 from JB Hi-Fi on Blu-ray, so...
It's so funny for someone to walk over and insult you.
Well...
You had to wait for it. Yeah.
Well, I loved every second of it. Anyone else has something to say? Yes.
Do you think, or like, how long did Mike Myers spend, like, thinking about post-release and post-flaming of this movie? How much did it get to him? How long did he get fucked up by how much people hated this?
Oh, I think
what
Mike
year is
still,
it now?
It's what year is it now?
2017. Probably 9 years.
That's a serious question you just asked.
I say 9 years because now he's perhaps making his comeback.
Yeah, I think it's taken this long for him to get over it, and I don't think he ever will. If we all saw him when he made his appearance on Fallon kind of recently, he's a shaken, broken man who cannot perform live anymore. And I think this movie and perhaps his live experiences in Greenwich Village.
He can only perform live in costume.
Yeah, it's fucked him up big time.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're real. This is very depressing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the most necessary question. So I think. Yes.
We watched it this week. We thought it was going to be screened, so we had to rush and have a viewing.
Oh, you thought it was going to be screened, did you? Oh,
he actually was one of the people I met on the street that said, I can't wait to see The Love Guru with you. And I said, well, I've got some news for you.
And we worked out the budget. It was 700,000 thereabouts a minute.
What?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm actually having a panic attack right now. Yeah.
But the good news is you could see all of it on the screen.
But also the good news is that does seem very high because this movie is mercifully very short. It's only like 81 minutes or something.
Oh, it feels so much longer.
We've got a question down the front, Lex.
Yes.
I wanted to quickly talk about the musical numbers that have absolutely nothing to do
You're
with
right.
the rest.
Yes.
Of, like, More Than Words by Extreme and, like, 9 to 5 Adult. And then the fucking Joker, which is, like, the payoff for his name being Maurice. Like,
oh, God. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't even get that Joker until...
Oh, my God.
And then it fucking turns into, like, a Bollywood version of that song. And yeah, like, that why? Was... Why?
These are good questions.
Why was the first question that I wrote in my notes for this movie?
Whereas I wrote Paul Kerr because I speak Spanish.
Yeah, you've travelled. Becky has travelled.
I travelled.
And we are traveling later this year, and we're very excited about it. No, I think you're right. I think, Mike, this movie is proof that sometimes being too horny is a problem. And when you've got too much resources, no one's saying no to you, and you're coming to the studio and going, I'm going to do three full musical numbers that are in no way related to the plot, and people just go, well, yeah, this cunt did make The Spy Who Shagged Me, so we got to let him do it.
A bit of Emperor's Clothing kind of thing.
Like. But also, exactly. I love even the pitch where it goes, the first one's going to be the big opening number. It's going to be Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. It'll be hilarious because we'll have like a mashup of comical scenes over the top of it. We'll finish with the Joker, reveal why I'm called Maurice. And then the other one, of course, that's been waiting for a zing, extremes more than words.
Like, well, I can't for the life of me fathom what that scene meant. Like, what was it there for?
I think it was the scene, like, in Austin Powers, the bedroom scene with Vanessa where he's like, your mother was so groovy. I think it was that tender moment for that, the earnest moment. And honestly, the music stuff, loved it. Best stuff of the whole movie. I just thought it was like, this movie should have been a whole musical because that's just would have been awesome.
Do you think we could be lucky enough to see a Love Guru Broadway show?
Oh, my goodness. Mm. I hope so.
Do we have any final questions?
Anyone else?
Silence fell over the room.
Well, it seems we've covered it all.
Is that a question up the back from Seizure? You can use the mic,
I reckon.
Back
and out
cool there we go. Do you think there's any similarities between this and Eddie Murphy's Holy Man?
Ooh. That's a great question.
Yes.
And one we'll answer on Murphy's Floor coming up very soon, ladies and gentlemen.
There will be another episode.
I think we should go around the horn and check it. I want you to go first, Alexi.
Okay, I will check this movie. It's I should sit down again. Hang on.
He's about to have his breakdown.
Here we go.
This movie is
oh my god.
It's because I got to make the decision now.
Are you happy, Holly? Are you happy? Yeah. You're getting it live.
This movie is I'll just say this movie is fine. There's probably there's a lot of bad, but when he says that Mitch was not one of them, I mean that's you can hang your whole hat on a movie
like that.
Your $45 hat can be hung on it quite comfortably.
Yeah, you love that kind of shit. You
I love that shit. I think it was I think it's just it's fine. It's probably I would say it's definitely in the lower half of movies that we've reviewed on this podcast, but leaps and bounds better than Pete's Meteor. Mm. Like, that is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, that is really, really bad. This movie is fine compared to that especially, and I think it's better than Shrek the Third.
It's better than Shit the Turd?
Yeah, better than Shit the Turd.
That means he's a true artist, though. Your favourite film is a Mike Myers film, and your most hated film is a Mike Myers film.
I'm crumbling when you said that.
Dill?
I really wanted to be horny. I really did.
Yeah. But awesome, dude.
I tried because I like to look at the positives, and it was so hard with this one, like not in that horny way, like just difficult. And not horny. I can't imagine having to watch this again. Like, I wouldn't do this podcast if you told me I had to watch Love Guru again.
I mean, I feel like, this has probably been a good week for Mike, though, because I can't imagine this many people have watched The Love Guru.
He's going to see a bump on our movie.
I feel like it would be a really noticeable bump. Yeah. Like, we just got like 60 downloads in Australia of The Love Guru. Like, maybe Mike, Love Guru 2! Yeah. Get the script!
We're making it in
ding,
Australia.
Ding.
Next year's comedy festival, Mike Myers Live. With the
Love Guru. Oh, the Mike Myers dining experience.
With the nuts. You can have the whole nuts scene reenacted live where you dip the nuts and everything.
Before we move on, just on that, I just, not by applause, by raising of hands, so it is off the record slightly. Did anyone other than me pay for this movie? Oh my God, quite a few.
And I just like to offer
100% let the record show.
I'd just like to also just ask the opposite to a question you asked earlier, because you said clap your hands if you saw the movie.
Yeah.
Can I say clap your hands if you have not seen The Love Guru? Is there any?
Wow.
Thank you for coming.
Becky, can I get you to check this film for us? What did you think?
Well, I was saying before that I love Mike Myers because my dad showed me him. Mm-hmm.
much like Mike loves comedy because of his father.
Because of his father. So I know. And that's
it's really nice. Yeah. My dad showed me farming and I fucking hated that.
Yeah. But farming's not cool, man.
No.
Comedy's fucking sick though, dude. You all gotta do it. So go on, Becky.
Well, because of that, this movie makes me feel less close to my dad.
I can see that. Much like Mike when he was making it.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
What he wanted.
Okay.
Cameron.
Now it's on me.
You must check this movie.
I got to check The Love Guru by my hero, Mike Myers. Mm. And I have to say, this movie was... I just want to ask one question. What's the point, Vanessa, of this film?
And I want to step right in and just say that I did come up with that.
And I want to jump on top of what you're saying there and say it is my phrase.
As you're on top,
guys, behave.
Very good.
I think this movie was pointless. I wish the character existed in the Austin Powers universe. And if I could change one thing in the world, it would be to use a time machine to go back in time and convince Mike to just make this character be a character in The Spy Who Shagged Me. That's my check.
Do it at Starbucks and fuck off.
Yeah. So that is how I feel about it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out to Mike Check Live. Give yourselves a big round of applause. And for all of our wonderful guests today, Becky Lucas, Will Anderson, and Dilruk Jayasena. They're all far too talented to be here today. Alexi Toliopoulos, everybody.
You. And Cameron James.
We're not worthy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for coming out. Stick around for a beer if you want. We'll see you guys soon.
We hope you enjoyed our live episode, guys. We'll be back with you very soon with a new episode. Until then, if you enjoyed what you heard, give us 5 stars on iTunes and in your review, leave us the title and concept for what you'd like our next super specific actor-based podcast to be. We got a very cool one recently from one of our fans, Nathan Sard, who said we should do one called Biscotti Don't, where we talk about who is the better sidekick? Scott Evil from the Austin Powers films or Gingy from the Shrek films? The titular Scott and Biscotti. I think it's one of the funniest ideas ever, so thanks so much, Nathan, for leaving us that one. But leave your own one. There's heaps of really funny ones, and there's heaps of actors that have not been touched yet. No one's done one about Colin Quinn. Why don't you do one about him, like quintessential viewing? There we go. I just made one up. What's stopping you from making one up? To keep up with everything Mike Check, you can follow us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter at MikeCheckPod. Cameron's on Twitter at IamCameronJames. You can catch me at ThisIsAlexi, A-L-E-X-E-I. You can follow Becky Lucas at Becky_Lucas89. Dilruk Jayasena is at DilrukJ. And Will Anderson is at Will_Anderson. And Becky actually has an encore of her show Little Bitch at the Comedy Store on July 1st in Sydney. It sold out every single night during the comedy festival that it was on in Sydney. So it is a must-see show. It's super funny. As you can tell, Becky is one of the funniest people you will ever hear. So go check out that show then. And until next time, you can listen to us also on the Blank Slate Movie Podcast, where Cameron and I talk about all things movies. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast, guys. And please just, you know, share it with your friends. We'll talk to you soon, and we do love you very, very much. Mariska Hargate.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances?
Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.